Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful even as we begin this teaching. Lord, our hearts are receptive to your word tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are grateful, God, for the privilege of hearing your word. We are grateful, God, for our eyes see, our ears hear, and our hearts, oh God, receive, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray over every listener that, Father, Lord, may this word be that strength, in Jesus' name. Our listeners on Zoom, our listeners on YouTube, and our listeners, oh God, on the podcast, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God, to pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Our wonderful IBS, welcome to the meeting. So we are continuing in our series. Our series of how you can become a strong Christian. Praise the Lord. Confirm if you can see. What is that? What's on your screen? Confirm. Give me a yes. I have 30 minutes. So give me a yes if you can see what's on your screen. Just so that I know that we are all seeing the same thing, right? Okay, perfect. So I'd love us to be interactive. That way I know that you are here. Amen. So the minute you stop responding, I'll think you're not here. Because we're having... this is an online meeting. So really, the only way I know is when you are commenting. So I enjoy when the meeting is full of so many comments. Where is Lois? I haven't been seeing Lois in the last two meetings. Where is Lois, you guys? So yes, I want us to comment in the chat so that I know that we are here. Okay? So we began a series called How You Can Become a Strong Christian. That's our Saturday series for a minute. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says you guys should be checking up on each other. Imagine coming to a home meeting and you just attended alone without checking up on people. So this tells me you people don't talk to each other in IBS, which is very sad for me. Even after attending picnics, some of you. For those of you who attended picnics, I would expect that your relationships are better with each other. Unless those who have not attended any IBS outing. But I want us to become better at relating with each other. Praise the Lord. Yeah, find friends. You may never know. You may find a husband in IBS. But then because, oh, I'm shy. I don't talk to people. You are denying yourself of a good relationship. Do you see what I mean? So talk to people. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the Bible says, Ephesians 6 verse 10 in the NIV, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So we saw that the Lord wants us to be strong. Very important as a believer. Strength is very important. How many of you want to get married to a weak man? Sisters. And when I'm talking about weakness, I'm not talking about physical strength here. I'm just talking about being strong in the Lord. Okay. Yeah, you see, Chitima, we've caught you. What strength were you thinking? I'm not talking about muscles, please. I hope you know that. That's the last thing that's on my mind. Oh, we love muscles. Yeah, but how many of you want to get married to somebody who is not strong in the Lord? Like, they don't have any convictions. They don't know who they are. They don't understand what it means to be a believer. In that relationship, you're the one always telling them, no, this is what it means to be this. This is what it means to be that. I don't think anybody wants that. But do you know some of you, with the way you are dating, you find that you're dating weak men who don't have a relationship with God. It's an error. Don't date somebody who's not strong in the Lord. When I say strong in the Lord, this is what I mean. I'm talking about somebody who has a foundation. They are born again. They actually go to church. Church is very important to them. Their relationship with God is very important. In your relationship that you have with people, the thing that should be protecting you and guiding you is the relationship that you actually have with God. The minute you move away from Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, you allow foreign things to enter that relationship. Do you see? So the relationship will turn out however it should. But when you allow people to be proper believers, you can actually have success. in your relationships. Do you know why people fail at relationships? Because they want results, but they are not putting in the ingredients that are needed. Imagine trying to bake a cake and you don't have the necessary ingredients, and yet they are watching on YouTube and they're upset. Oh my God, the cake didn't come out the way it should. No, you have no right to be upset. So somebody dates an unbeliever, and somehow you expect that relationship to be Christian. No, it doesn't work like that. Praise the Lord. So the Bible is encouraging us, all of us. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Praise the Lord. So yes, this is us, one of IBS. We look amazing. Praise the Lord. My name is Robbie Makasa, and I am a mechatronics engineer. I am a graphic designer. I'm an author. I'm a guitar instructor. I'm the president of IBS, and I am a teacher of God's word. Praise the Lord. So I'm just gonna get right into where we ended. Okay, so I'm just gonna give a recap. We learned that three things, there are obviously more, but three things that make people movable in their Christianity. Number one, we learned relationships. The relationships you have determine how far you can go as a believer. Praise the Lord. There are some of us who think, oh no, it's okay, I can be friends with non-believers, they're not really influencing me. You have no idea how much you're getting influenced by the people in your life. You have no idea. It's until you start having relationship with people that you start to see that what's the word? That people actually have impact. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture I'm looking for, which will help you. I found it. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It's not in my presentation. This is just for relationships in general. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So last week I asked us questions. What are you giving up in order to sustain the relationships that you are keeping? Do you have to constantly reduce your morals, your standards, in order to accommodate this brother or this sister in your relationship? Because, you know, I'm trying to be a loving Christian. Your relationship with the world should be to win them to Christ. If not, then shouldn't have much of a relationship with worldly people. Now, the truth is, on earth, you will interact with worldly people. But what I'm saying is that don't have close associations with people in the world. Amen. So what happens if now this worldly person is homosexual and you are a believer? So what are you going to do? No, my best friend is gay and you are a whole believer. Yeah, but people aren't ready for such kind of conversations. You see, we decide to just brush it off. But what will happen? You see, so when you are not somebody who has your standards in check, you find that anybody can come and influence you. So what happens if the person that you are befriending is okay with prostitution? And sometimes people have ways of justifying these things. No, the thing is, I just want to make an amount of money, then I'll stop. Many times people don't stop. Do you know why? Because it's become a habit. You see, so you're okay with being friends with somebody who's a drug dealer. I'm giving examples, praise the Lord. So we know that we need to be deliberate about the relationships that we accommodate. Yeah, sometimes it's okay to not even have friends for a while. You know, when I was a believer for the first time, oh my God, I had no friends. I had to give up my friendships. And it was so hard for me because for some reason, I was a popular guy, you know? Yeah, in my primary school and secondary, people just followed me around. So I was popular, and then I was into sports. So I was those types of, it was very weird for people because I was into sports, and then I was also an academic at the same time. So is he a jock? Is he a nerd? Is he a mixture? He's a cool guy. So I was that cool guy, you know what I mean? With people follow me around. And it was later when I got saved that I realized that I was actually influential because people just followed me around. But I was not a believer at the time. Praise the Lord. And so you see, the Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So again, I ask the relationships that you accommodate. What are you giving up to accommodate them? Do you always have to give up your standards? Do you always have to compromise your Christianity because you are afraid of losing this friendship? Right? So because for me, I was popular, it was actually hard for me to lose the friends. Right? But then I had to come to a place where I never had friends for a while. That was 11 years ago. Is it 11? Is it 12? 11 years ago. I was a teenager. And then I decided I'm going to be friends with Jesus in my Bible. I'm going to be friends with Jesus in my Bible. You see. And then I remember my friends when they were teenagers, like in late teenagers, they were dating, telling me, oh, there's this girl I like. And then I was not into it. You know what I mean? Like, I was just so into my Bible. I'm like, guys, I just love the Lord, you know? I just want to have a relationship with my Bible. But for me to get to that place, I really had to pull away from those friendships. People mocked me. People accused me. People told me they would give me two. They gave me 2 weeks. They say, Robbie, I'm giving you 2 weeks and you're not going to be a Christian anymore. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you for your consent. Praise the Lord. 11 years later, I am still a believer. And I can never give up my Jesus. Oh, no, I can't. Praise the Lord. You should come to a place where you can't give up what you believe. So sometimes the reason why we easily give up is because we don't have convictions. Convictions are just firm beliefs. Do you know that these other religions, some who practice these other religions, they are very convicted about certain things. But you, as a believer, what are your convictions? What do you actually believe about being a Christian? Praise the Lord. That's what convictions are. What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about what it means to be a believer? Amen. And then number two, we learned that money is also another reason that makes people movable. Amen. What are you willing to do to get money? What are you willing to do to make money? Are you willing to compromise in order to make a buck? Questions. Are you willing to let go of your morals in order to climb up the corporate ladder because there's more money? Willing to become loose a bit, for lack of a better term, because my boss said, if I do this once with him, I'm going to make money. Now, some of you, of course, you don't practice that, I believe. But there are people who actually do that. And you see, some of you maybe know people who've done that before. And maybe these are your relatives. Maybe these are your friends. And if you're afraid to tell the person that what you're doing is not okay, you're not helping them. Do you see? Because we think we're protecting people by not saying anything. It's not good. Imagine your younger sister. I want you to think about it. You know why I'm using your relatives? Because that's when it will touch you. If it's a stranger, you may not think too much about it. But your younger sister, they've told your younger sister that she has to sleep with the boss in order to move up. As an older sibling, are you just going to watch and say nothing, do nothing? Oh no, it's her life. She's an adult. Because she's 25 years old or 28, she can make her own decisions. No, rather go and offend her. But she makes the right decisions. You see what I mean? Yeah, because people are doing that in the offices. Indecent relationships. In the workplace. Inappropriate relationships. In the workplace. So your relatives are doing that. You won't say anything because you're afraid. Yeah, that guy who's judgmental, because this is a word that people like to use, judgmental. No, you're preserving somebody. Do you see? Because let me tell you something that you don't know. The minute you compromise, there is a pattern that your soul is learning. The minute you do something wrong, Your heart, do you know that your heart doesn't know that you're dating five boys? Think your heart knows? Why do you think the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life? Your heart doesn't know. Imagine somebody's in love with five men. Your heart doesn't know that. But if you keep on having those men come, or where you can allow men to buy you certain gifts, to pay for your rentals, do all these things, your heart is learning something. You see, so never try some of these things. Oh, no, it's just once. No, it can turn into a habit. You have no idea. One day this man will demand something of you, and you feel compelled to give that thing that he desires because he paid your rentals. I promise you, these things happen. Yeah, they happen. And somehow there's some innocent sisters who feel they have to give up their bodies because one time this guy sorted out their bill or their supplies in university. You see what I mean? The way Gen Z answer, oh, it's okay. I'd rather somebody's offended by me because I was correcting them with the right things. Not doing whatever you want. It's my life. No, it's not just your life. It's our life. Because if your younger siblings has a child before the time, automatically you become an aunt or uncle. So I'll be saying, whatever you do affects me. I don't want to become an uncle right now. No. Then what, I should be responsible for your child. I don't have children of my own. No, I refuse. You see in Africa, the things that happen. Somebody keeps on having children, and now they're hoping that that uncle that has money will take care of. No, that's selfishness. Those are bad manners. Oh, no. Me? Oh, we'll see who will take care of those children. Me, I should take care of whose kids? No. And look, don't feel bad. People shouldn't guilt trip you into taking responsibility over things you never did. Always, you work hard for your money. Praise the Lord. No, you don't do that. Praise the Lord. Another thing is loving the world. So we see from the scriptures, when you love the world too much, it can make you movable. Amen. So tonight, I'm teaching you reasons. You guys are quiet. I'm telling you things that happen in this world. And I'm also teaching you what to do. Because I know you guys don't practice that. Not in IBS, no way. But you find people who do that. So you need to know how to respond. People should be afraid to do certain things in your presence. You know, whenever I'm around, people's behavior changes. No, I promise you, people might be doing all sorts of things. I remember when I was in high school, there'll be a group of people cussing and maybe even speaking evil of others. And in the minute I come to the place, they will change their behavior and start talking about other things. Why? Because the Christian has come. Look, don't be afraid to be a proper believer. Do you understand? Like some of us are afraid. Oh, no, people will think about this. No. When you walk there, ladies and gentlemen, this should change. Behavior should be, you know how when your parents come, naturally, you just change your behavior. Back in the day, if you're misbehaving, your mom and dad come, then their presence influences your behavior. But do you know you have the Holy Spirit in you? So the Holy Spirit should be able to influence everything that you do. So you ought to be conscious of the Holy Spirit in your life because the Holy Spirit should influence your choices. The Holy Spirit should influence your decisions. What you do, where you go, what you say, the Holy Spirit should influence that. Not after such a meeting, somebody should go on www dot. After such a meeting, to go and watch useless things? No, not in IBS. People of God, let me tell you something about the dangers of pornography. The minute you start exposing yourself to pornography, I want to tell you something. It's a snare. You get your body used to pleasure that's not real. Because people are acting out certain things and you think that's real. And so now somebody has now become hungry for, like, your appetite has grown because of exposure. That's what happens. Do you know that the more you expose yourself to certain things, appetite grows. The more you expose yourself to the word of God, your hunger and appetite for the word of God increases. It works in no other things. So for men, and I want to just share with men, the minute there's that exposure to pornography, you're teaching your body that it's okay to please yourself. And then you find that even when you get married, you'll still be doing the same thing. Why? Because you found a shortcut. So if the wife cannot, at that period of time, the man is going to decide to do it on his own because, hey, I have hands. In IBS, we talk about these things. You see, I think next month or the other month, I'll be teaching about sexuality. So become comfortable already. I'll be telling you the wrong things, the effects, why you shouldn't do it, and why you should not tolerate such things because it's affecting people. Praise the Lord. And then the minute there's that exposure to pornography, there's a way you start seeing women. So each time there's a sister that comes, the first thought is, I need to sleep with that girl. That's why you find that some men, the minute you interact with them, conversations are very sexual in the text, in the way they talk to you. It's very sexual. It's filled with so much sexuality because there is something that that person has exposed himself to. No, I can usually tell there's an exposure. Praise the Lord. So whatever you expose yourself to, You see what I mean? Hey, by the way, women also do it. So it's not just men. I think it's just men. No, they're sisters. Praise the Lord. I don't say this to anybody's shame, but I'm telling you the truth that the word of God should actually affect us. Maybe there was a life you used to live like that. When you come into the kingdom of God, the Lord begins to cleanse you. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 14. Oh, it's so fun. People are uncomfortable in the chat. The Bible says, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Praise the Lord. So now we're going to see the reasons you need to overcome. Amen. Number one, strengthen yourself because the evil one plans to attack again. 1 Kings 20, verse 22. 1 Kings, rather, 20, verse 20 to 22. The Bible says, and each one struck down his opponent, and that the Arameans fled, praise the Lord, with the Israelites in pursuit. But Ben, excuse me, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, escaped on a horseback with some of his horsemen. The king of Israel advanced and overpowered the horses and chariots and inflicted heavy losses on the Arameans. Look at verse 22. Afterward, the prophet came to the king of Israel and said, strengthen yourselves. Do you see that? Strengthen your position and see what must be done because next spring, the king of Syria will attack you again. So let me explain this scripture. In one moment, you see that the Israelites won and they were happy. But then the prophet came and said, look, yes, you've won this battle, but this person is going to come back. This is what happens to people who overcome certain sins, sin of addiction, sin of inappropriately touching oneself, the sin of whatever sin it is. And so you find that a believer has overcome it. And then certain things trigger it, and then it's back. Do you see why you need to strengthen yourself? Sometimes, so when I'm talking about you strengthening yourself against the evil one, I'm not just talking about the devil, but I'm also talking about things that actually hinder us from growing. Maybe there are sins in our past that we used to do. Maybe there was a problem with drinking. I promise you, you can't overcome that by saying, no, I want to go buy Sprite at a bar. And you know that in the past you've had a problem with drinking. It doesn't work like that. Before you know it, you go back to that habit. Praise the Lord. So somebody is maybe trying to overcome fornication. And in the next relationship, we are meeting in our bedrooms at midnight, at 9 p.m. No, we're going to watch a Christian movie. You know, sometimes when people tell me these things, I start laughing. And I'm like, are you talking to a child or what? Like, am I a child that you say such things to me? Right? No, you don't do that. Before you know it, you actually go back to the same thing. You see? So strengthen yourself because the evil one, the enemy, wants to attack again. And those sins that you've overcome, they want to come back. Yeah, but if you don't strengthen yourself, that's why you need to protect yourself where you go, the conversations you have. Maybe there's been an issue with sexuality. And in the text with men, there's sexual texts, all these things loaded in a text. A whole message, and people are even shy to read because this person has said all these things. We can't overcome like that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we can't overcome. Why is Chitima the one who's mostly responding? Guys, respond to the message. Praise the Lord. So, number one, strengthen yourself because the evil one plans to attack you again. Praise the Lord. Number two, strengthen yourself so that you can run your race properly. Psalms 19, verse 4 to 5 in the NIV. It says, yet thy voice goes out in all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. And then look at Hebrews 12. I love the scriptures in Hebrews 12. Look what the Bible says. It says, therefore, we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight. The Bible says, lay aside every weight. A weight doesn't necessarily have to be a sin, but it can be maybe an attitude, a thinking pattern. Maybe you're always a victim in your mind. You have to lay aside that because you can't run your race when in your mind you are a victim. You can't win if in your mind you're defeated. Praise the Lord. And then it says, end the sin, which so easily ensnares us. Sin ensnares, ladies and gentlemen. Sin is what makes people not run their race properly. And then it says, and let us run with endurance. When you see the word endurance, it tells you that the race is actually a marathon. It's not a sprint, pardon me. When you're sprinting, you don't need much endurance. Praise the Lord. I'm a runner, so I know what I'm talking about. I love doing short distance races, but I also do long distance. If I'm doing 200 meters, I don't need to have so much endurance, 100 meters. But the minute I'm stretching and I'm doing 5 kilometers, I need some endurance, 10 kilometers, 15, 20. I need endurance because it's a long race. But if I start sprinting and using all my energy when I'm trying to run a marathon, I'm not going to finish that race well. I may finish the race, but maybe with injuries, and I may not finish the race at all. So the Bible says, let us run with endurance. The race that is set before us, you all have a race to run. And then how do you run this race? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you know what the Bible is saying? The reason why Jesus could endure the cross, which is so painful, is because he saw what was coming after the cross. It says, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus is enduring the cross because he knows the glory that comes afterwards. Each time you win, the Bible says he who overcomes, there is a crown that is given to you in heaven. Each time you overcome a sin, you overcome the temptation to insult somebody or to speak back or to say something that you know you regret. Each time you overcome, there's a crown of life that God places on your head. And in heaven, that joyful, oh my God, yes, my children are winning. Praise the Lord. So strengthen yourself so that you can run your race properly. There's a race that you are all running. And for you to run it well, you have to lay aside every weight. Have you ever seen how the sportsmen dress up? They try to be as light as possible. Have you ever watched the Olympics? You know, people running. How many of you have heard of Usain Bolt? Have you seen the way they dress? They are light as possible with those tiny shorts that are very tight, that expose things we shouldn't see. But anyway, far from the point. But when you see that dressing, you find that it's very light. Why? Because they are running. You can't run with a backpack, or you're running in baggy jeans with a boot. No, you can't run like that. So their shoes have been designed to accommodate the race that's actually before them. Praise the Lord. So when you are running your race, ladies and gentlemen, you are actually meant to run your race properly. Amen. Are we enjoying the message tonight? Yeah, this is not your average Bible study group. Praise the Lord. Number three, strengthen yourself so that you can withstand the evil day. There's a day called the evil day. So I'm almost done, ladies and gentlemen. There's a day called the evil day. Ephesians 6, verse 13, the Bible says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Have you ever just had that rough day where everything is just going wrong and you're just asking God, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Have you ever had a day like that? Like you're just feeling exhausted, maybe even moody for no reason. You're feeling anxious, you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't know why. And then you just start crying. Or you're just not yourself. It just happens. So much is going on. That's what the Bible calls an evil day. It says, put on your full armor so that when, it doesn't say if. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about being a Christian. Don't let people lie to you. Or you will have trials and tribulations. And you don't like to hear such a thing. No, there'll be trials. Yeah, there'll be tribulations. So that when, in English, when tells you that it will happen. It's not a condition. If is a word of condition. If you remember your English well. If is a word of condition. But here, when tells you that it will actually happen. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Now, believers going on without the full armor? No, you need the full armor of God. Have you ever watched movies where they're going to battle? People going to fight, there's no sword. And then they're not wearing protective garments. They're just going, oh no, let's just fight. No, you would die like that. But some of us go out to war like that, bare, we're naked. No protective garment, no sword, no nothing. No, it says put on the full armor of God. Praise the Lord. And this should be the last one, or the second last one. Strengthen yourself so that you can help other people. Romans 15, verse 1 in the NIV. It says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Hey. Not to please ourselves. A Christianity that just pleases oneself is not Christianity. It's called selfishness. Jesus left the pleasure of living in heaven to come and become flesh for you and I. Why? So that we could be reconciled to the Father. So, in your Christianity, how many people have you helped? Do you see? You should at least be responsible for one believer. Because of you, there's one believer who's standing strong. Praise the Lord. It says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. When somebody is struggling with something, can you actually encourage them? Can you strengthen them? Or are you just going to say, it is what it is? Somebody who's discouraged has left your presence discouraged? No, it's an error. As a believer, it's an error. If somebody is discouraged, when they come into your presence, they should be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Naturally, I am an encourager. Some of us, it may not be natural, but we can learn. But for me, naturally, it's just so natural. I do it every single day. Yeah, today I was encouraging somebody, actually. I think a few people. But for me, it's so natural. It's become natural from the time I got saved. Right? Yeah, it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. There are some people who may not be as strong as you are. All of us are stronger than somebody. All of us. I promise you. And so let's use our strength to carry the burdens of other people. Praise the Lord. So strengthen yourself so that you can help other people. Amen. And this should be the final one. Number five, I think. Strengthen yourself because it is a wise thing to be strong. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 5, the wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge master that strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've come to the end of the meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. And we're gonna continue with our series, I think next week. Praise the Lord. So let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over my wonderful IBS members. I pray, oh God, that you strengthen them. In Jesus' name, they are strong. It is well for them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord, that you know how to equip them. In Jesus' mighty name, oh God, I pray they are strengthened. In all that they do, they are strengthened. In Jesus' name, oh God, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.